across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Oh, it's not just our Lake Wissota studio. It's an undisclosed location in northern Minnesota, and it's the brand new Civic Media Studio A2 at the top of State Street, just off Capitol Square in beautiful Madison, being manned by Luke Mathers this morning. Kristen Lyerly joining us. Pat Breitlow here. Nice to have you along. At just about 7:07 on this Tuesday morning, June 18th. Mr. Mathers, how is brand new Studio A2 working out for you so far?
It's got that new studio smell, which is
great.
It's just like a new car smell. It's a good smell. Good smell.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, good.
There's magical coffee somehow. Like, neither Sam or I made the coffee, but there's coffee in the coffee pot here in the Madison Studios, and I have no idea how it got there.
Oh, good. You've got ghosts already.
I have no idea how it got there, but it's the magic of A2. We are doing the show here, and just coffee appears for us.
Do you think that A2 could put something behind you so it doesn't look like you're sitting in some sort of an institution?
I'm working on it, but you know, that's kind of the vibe that it goes for, right?
Okay, let Luke out of his cell now.
Dr. Lyerly, you missed it, but I did say that my main concern after cleaning up the broken champagne bottle pieces it's the maiden voyage,
I christened the studio.
But then after that, I am concerned that now 24/7 I can be in a studio that anywhere in the network can access. So I'm just, this is my new home. There's going to be a cot. Yes, it'll be nice. I got to move in now, but this is my new home.
Well, but that's the magic of the technology, which again, we're glad to guinea pig it. We're glad it works. The one thing today, and we hope it's today only, is we don't have the phones hooked up. So you can still text us at 855-75-CIVIC. But I will see on the text line, Dave in San Francisco, if you're still listening, we see you tried to call in. We appreciate it. We couldn't get to you. If you want to send us a text today, you can. Technology just, it changes over the years. Here's what I found in the basement yesterday while I was looking for something.
Oh, boy.
This is a police scanner, a handheld police scanner. That we used to have in the old TV 13 newsroom, which was a huge upgrade. You know, police scanners used to be like, you know, these big toaster oven size boxes and monitor all the police and fire and EMT channels so you could see what was going on. And then we got this nice little handheld one that we could take out in the field with us. But you ever notice in your basement or your junk drawer, maybe you're more organized, but you've got all these adapters, these AC adapters.
Yes.
But you now forget which ones plug in where.
Yeah.
And I know at some point I got rid of a bunch of them because they didn't seem to fit anything that we had anymore. So I find the scanner, but I can't make it work because it's not for batteries. I have to find the AC adapter that goes with it. So I have no idea what I would pick up on this thing anymore. Maybe the people that made Luke's coffee, you know.
It makes me wonder, how good is your battery? Like, is it even rechargeable at this point? So maybe even if you found the right adapter, it wouldn't matter.
Oh, it would probably have to go away. It did kind of turn on. Yeah.
Oh.
We're gonna start getting updates. Yeah, we're gonna get.
Okay. What's happening in Chippewa Falls right now?
And there it died. Okay, never mind. So it had about 8 seconds of battery life. Anyway,
you can take it out on the pontoon with you though, and you can really get the updates live from the lake of whether or not you're gonna get pulled over for going too fast in the no wake zones and stuff.
That's right. Here's the other thing I found holding up a small box here of Hi8 videotapes.
That is quality stuff. Yes.
Yeah. This one says Disney 1994. This one says 2003 Yellowstone trip. This says Christmas 1997. Here's New Zealand, Australia 1999. I'd finally seen enough of these, like, what are they called? Legacy box. And there's a whole bunch of other ones as well. I've been seeing these ads for forever. So I finally signed. So this is our new thing we're going to track on air is I can send 10 tapes. So I found 10 of these tapes from the TV station and from my camcorder. And I'm either going to be able to see things that I haven't seen in 10 to 20 years, or I'm going to be on here saying that I sent them 10, you know, family heirlooms and I got back garbage and now I don't have any memories anymore. So we'll see. We'll see how it shakes out.
That'll be an interesting update.
I love old videos. When I was at the TV station, I was always encouraging them. There were boxes with, you know, old film reels in there. I said, you guys have got to get these digitized. There might be great stuff on here. And, you know, they're like, oh, it's probably home movies from a TV 13 Christmas party. Well, I would like to see that too, frankly, if you know what Christmas parties used to be like, you know, back in the day.
I do remember a listener calling in with an old home movie. I guess it was not a home movie, but it was a college movie of one of your early appearances. Mm-hmm. That was quite entertaining for all of us.
See, and there's a whole bunch of them on these tapes. All my early anchoring stints are there. So don't poo-poo what I'm doing over here. This could be for there could be good entertainment value in all of this. Brittany's off for a day or two here. Rob puts in a good morning from Tigerton, sunny and hazy, 73. He says, watch out for buckling roads, 41 southbound between 45 and 21 in Oshkosh because of road buckling will be closed till 10 a.m. He says he's got to mow some lawns in the Wittenberg area, got his water jug ready. And how, you know, on the farm on hot days, you always had that water jug with ice. And mm-hmm. Kristen, you'd be the first to tell us to stay hydrated.
That's right. So important, especially on Wear Blue Day, fellas. This is your second reminder.
Mm-hmm.
Make that phone call today.
Get a checkup.
Get a checkup.
Get a checkup today. As far as weather goes, there is one hazardous weather outlook to tell you about for East Central, South Central, and Southeast Wisconsin, with heat index values between 95 and 100 this afternoon. Further, there is a high swim risk today for Lake Michigan beaches, especially in Sheboygan and Ozaukee counties. Life-threatening waves and currents. Stay out of the water today. Stay away from dangerous areas like piers and breakwalls. The hot and humid conditions statewide will continue into Wednesday. Cool down a little bit Thursday, Friday, especially near Lake Michigan. But there's also a chance that a front will bring a new round of showers and thunderstorms later today and this evening into western Wisconsin. Severe storms, locally heavy rain are all possible. And then more showers and storms will arrive late Thursday through Saturday. So look out for flash flooding and the possibility of river flooding as well. I hear all this and I'm thinking Kristen must be planning another camping trip.
Nope.
No? Okay.
No.
All right.
No, but it is literally pouring where I am right now.
Is it? Oh, you know, I guess.
Coming your way.
I know, eventually. But for now, so far, so good. We our rain gauge is, you know, it's stuck into the ground on a post just outside of our deck. And one of us put it just a little bit out of reach. And I'm so concerned one of us is going to go look to see what's in the old rain bucket and take a tumble right over the side there. So I've got to relocate that at some point today, Kristen.
Why do you have a rain gauge?
Because I'm an old man now, and that's what I care about is how much rain fell. I was looking online last week when it was very windy to see if they had anemometers, you know, for home use. And basically you have to buy an entire weather station, and then I'd have to put that up on the roof, and then everybody would make fun of me. So I figured I would save the money and let you make fun of me for thinking of getting one without actually purchasing it.
Yeah,
you
same
and Brittany
effect.
Could go head to head on weather device collections with her extensive collection of barometers.
Oh, if she would take that challenge to see who could outgeek one another.
It's extra funny, Pat, because we're currently painting the house right now, and we've been fighting with Mother Nature to try to stay mm-hmm. dry so that we can actually get all the paint done. And my mm-hmm. dad's been coming to help out, and he literally had a detailed weather report for me of how many inches of rain Sun Prairie received and how many it was expected to receive. So he was like, I think I can come up and help because, you know, you've only had 0.1 inch of precipitation so far, and it only looks like maybe another 0.1 inch is coming. And I was like, okay, Dad, thanks for breaking down all the numbers for us.
There was a moment when I was talking to one of the daughters, and, you know, you might talk about the weather in passing. We all do. But then I think I said something like, yeah, we got, you know, 1.6 inches over the weekend and blah, blah, blah. The whole conversation would have been fine. But as soon as you put in the 1.6, you immediately go, and I'm old now.
Okay, you tipped your hand. That's yep. your tell. There you go.
Yep.
But you know, think about it. Like, this is the stuff that farmers have needed to know for ages and didn't have the technology and didn't have the weather report. They counted on the farmer's almanac. So this stuff is like essential information for so many Wisconsinites. For us, it's a hobby. For them, it is critical.
It is. So I never have a problem passing along weather information. It's just that my personal love for it sometimes just gets to really extreme levels. But, you know, a home weather station just would fit in very nicely with, you know, today's topic of it being National Splurge Day. And if you had, you know, a couple of extra bucks, you know, what would you buy? And what little luxuries do you do right now that you treat yourself to? And granted, you know, Dr. Lyerly and I, you know, might not be the best examples in this day and age. Life's been, you know, pretty good for us. But there were days when, especially when we were young, Sherry and I were going through med school and residency, and, you know, every dollar was going toward diapers or daycare. Mm-hmm. But I remember the one little luxury we gave in our lives was every winter, to break up the winter, we would take a weekend and go to a bed and breakfast someplace, you know, because we couldn't like go off to an island or a beach or something, but we'd at least get a babysitter and just go away for one weekend, you know. So that was one example. And then, of course, there's spa days and all of the other things. And so, Kristen, I just wondered if you, what counts as a little luxury for you nowadays, and or maybe what counted as one when you were, you know, up and coming back in the day?
I echo what you just said about remembering those lean days. And I remember when we first moved, newly married, just moved to Madison, we're renting a house that didn't have a refrigerator. And we were sitting at a Perkins without any money, enough to pay for our dinner, wondering how we were going to be able to buy groceries and what we were going to put them in, because we couldn't afford a refrigerator. It was, we were feeling so desperate at the time. So now to have everything that we have, just, I always reflect back on that. And I'm so grateful for everything that I have. But for me, splurging is like, I want to go on a vacation with people. People are the thing. Time is the most valuable thing for me. So just being able to go anywhere with someone I love and care about and treat them to that experience and enjoy that time together, that's the most valuable thing.
That, and that, Sherry said the same thing as well when I asked, well, how she would have responded. It kept coming back to vacations, trips, you know, things like that. Luke, time, you got together. You got a quick one, Luke, either now or in the past, a little luxury?
Food or coffee. I like to spend, I like to treat myself to good coffee. So like my standard cup of coffee in the morning is the Costco Kirkland bag. But like on the weekends, I have a select bag that I will grind the beans fresh. I treat myself to a nice, good cup of coffee.
Nice. So again, you can text us at 855-75-CIVIC. Text us the little luxuries or also the big ones. If you were to win Powerball, maybe we'll chat more about that on the other side of this break for Up North News Radio, live from Chippewa Falls. Be right back. Continuing to mark Paul McCartney's 82nd birthday today. Brewers fell in Los Angeles to the Anaheim Angels 5-3 to start their 7-game West Coast road trip. They play again tonight at 8:40. You can listen to the pregame starting at 8 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center. We're seeing Kenosha, Park Falls, and Oshkosh. Sign up for the Up North News daily newsletter at upnorthnewswi.com. Stories in there include my column on the economic comparisons between what President Biden would do for the economy in a new term and what Donald Trump would do for the economy in a new term. And also, we talk about the expensive cost of IVF and how having it legally threatened and politically threatened is causing more angst and financial heartache to couples in Wisconsin and elsewhere. Kristen, something you're very well aware of with your patient base that, again, it's hard to believe in 2024, we're actually talking about going backwards on things like IVF.
These are people who just want to start a family. These are people who desperately just want kids. And here we are punishing them for just wanting to have a family. It just doesn't make any sense. The Idaho GOP and their platform came out essentially saying that IVF is murder.
Yeah. Well, that's...
What are we doing?
That's one of the things that when... I was telling folks that you were going to be on and mentioning that, you said, well, what are we going to talk about? And here are some of the headlines that I sent back. Let's see. We've got outraged women in Brazil protest against a bill that would equate late abortions with homicide. Mm-hmm. We've got the anti-abortion movement is making a big play to thwart citizen initiatives on reproductive rights. We've got Indiana Republicans who did not let the Republican nominee for governor have their choice of lieutenant governor. They went with a far right choice instead. Mm-hmm. And let's see what else. Oh, medical experts alarmed at the number of out-of-hospital cesareans now being allowed in Florida.
Let's again, talk about all of those things. Again, my head is going to blow up.
I want to say it's 2024, and these are things we'll get into a lot of these after 7:30, because I'd rather continue for at least a few more minutes with something happier and the kinds of things that you would splurge on this National Splurge Day if you were able. Luke, you had some other kind of input on this topic. Was it about the little luxuries or the Powerball luxuries?
Well, the question that you're asking everybody right now is how would you treat yourself? And it just makes me think of...
Treat yourself.
Parks and Rec.
Slippies, cashmere socks,
and they have their entire day of treat yourself. And I don't know how you missed this one, Pat.
Treat yourself.
I would have had to watch a single episode of Parks and Rec and
what?
Did not.
You've never seen Parks and Rec?
No, never seen one of them.
Oh my goodness.
I don't know. There's a lot of shows I just miss and I just don't make the time for them. And that was was one of them.
Nick Offerman, though. And what? Yeah. I'm flabbergasted
It probably got in the way of my seeing every episode of Big Bang Theory for the 23rd time. That is probably where it came.
Why watch something 23 times when you could experience something new?
Because it's
like zucchini.
Anyway, Kristen, back to you. Let's go for the big luxuries now. All right, and anybody can relate to this except the people that Donald Trump wants to give tax breaks to. Let's pick a number. Let's make it 10 million because it's not 100 million obscene and it's not a million, which actually doesn't go as far as it used to. Can't believe I'm saying that out loud. But let's say $10 million. What would be the one thing you would definitely buy for yourself that you otherwise wouldn't get?
That's really hard, Pat. Honestly,
because I know you'd come back to a vacation first, which makes sense. But is there a thing like would it be a car? Would you necessarily go get a mansion-like house?
I'm super practical, so I would maybe make sure all my kids had their colleges paid for and their cars and, just make sure they're off to a strong foundation.
You must be so easy to shop for at Christmas time. I don't really need anything.
I'm the worst person to shop for. Or somebody will get me something, and I'm like, oh, I don't think I'm going to use that quite as much as I should, so I'll take it back. And get
it's a hypothetical exercise, and you...
I know. I know.
Talk about, and I'm the one that got accused of overthinking a little while ago.
I've actually thought about this. Like, if I won the lottery, what would I do? And my stock answer is it's so unlikely that I'm not going to put any mental energy into it. And if I did, I would sit on it. And at that point, I would make that decision.
Oh, boy. I said, we've lived here now on Lake Wissota for 29 years. And the first time that we went up river to the Mallard Resort, which is one of those old style ones with just little individual cabins and a little individual, bar where you can sit and a little teeny tiny beach, but the kids love it right on the river. And I said back then, I'm like, this is my Powerball. If I could win it to a point where I could go to the owners and say, what's your price? Then it occurred to me, I'd actually have to work at it, clean the cabins, change the sheets or hire people to do that. But I mean, that's my Shangri-La. And across the river from there is just one tiny cabin and it's all by itself there. Yeah. You have to take this private road to get to it. And it just looks like the perfect getaway. You're there by yourself. You got the whole area. That's my Powerball would be just to get a little piece of land somewhere very peaceful. And that would be mine. Luke, have you come up with any great possessions that you would? Oh, he's ready. Because we already established you already have gas and charcoal grills. What more could you want?
I've had 90 minutes to think about it. So okay. I've been dwelling on it, but I already knew the answer. There's a piece of lakefront property up on the UP, right on the Huron Bay that... very close family friends. Their family lives up there, but they've retired. They used to have a little resort on there. And it wouldn't be like an immediate thing, but I would say, hey, exact same thing to you as the owner of the Mallard. I'd say, what's the price for when you're no longer in need of it?
Yeah. You want to do what you also hope, not hope, but you think, what if somebody did to us? And what I mean by that is sell your own property. When we were thinking of, you know, moving to the Caribbean a few years back, and people said, well, are you going to sell the house? And we said, no, but you never know. Somebody rings the doorbell with a suitcase full of money, you know, and if, you know, you have a number in mind, which I think for many people would be like double the you know, what is it worth for somebody to say, I want your house and I want you out of here in a week. And you know, I guess I'd start at maybe double the current price of my house. If somebody came in and said, for this amount, can you be out of here in a week? Because you got to be able to find and move into another place now. Mm-hmm. But you know, it's kind of the opposite of splurge. It's like everybody has their price. What's your price for this or that? Now, Dr. Lyerly's house is worth a lot more because she now, her new campaign ad starts with her walking out of the house. And so, I mean, it's instantly famous as you talk about your commute to work. But could you foresee a number at which you'd go, okay, I can go look for something else?
Well, I'm not on Lake Wasota, so let's be clear about that.
But it's your house. It's your home. It's all broken in.
I think that there's something really special about neighborhoods and about neighbors. And there's this like magic. Our old neighborhood in Oregon, just south of Madison, was delightful. All the kids were the same age. In the winter, we'd all be out shoveling after a snowstorm and we'd find ourselves standing in the middle of the road just chatting because we just liked each other. I mean, it's people for me. It's not stuff. It's people.
Okay. And Sun Prairie, I mean, you know, for, you know, a buck and a half, I mean, you could probably find somebody that would,
I don't
say,
know, at my interest rate, I don't know if I'm leaving anytime soon.
That's what you need. Right. Your price is somebody dropping that interest rate. All right, we'll get into some of the more serious topics of the day, especially when it comes to your healthcare rights with Dr. Lyerly next. You're up north. For Paul McCartney's birthday, we asked Dr. Lyerly if she had a favorite tune, and out came this one. I still have people who rave about seeing him in concert at Target Field. How long ago was that now? God, 6, 7, 8 years ago, maybe, that he was there?
I saw him at Lambeau not too long ago.
Okay. Before we get to some of the more serious stories that involve Dr. Lyerly and other OBGYNs and politicians and things like that, one for Luke here, new in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this morning, because Rachel Bernard has just written so beautifully and colorfully about Top Chef Wisconsin. And she has a long read this morning about Milwaukee chef Dan Jacobs, who is one of the final three, going to be competing tomorrow night in the Top Chef finale. And so Rachel's lead begins, where does Dan Jacobs get all the energy? And talking about his whirlwind life in his own right, running his own, you know, restaurants, and then all the extra attention from the contest. And Luke, I'm sure you're, you know, any of us who've been watching Top Chef Wisconsin all season, you know, want to see if the hometown kid ends up on top when this is all said and done tomorrow night.
I have a theory of where the energy comes from.
Oh.
Okay.
So his restaurant in Milwaukee is called Dan Dan, mm-hmm, because his partner in Milwaukee's name is also Dan.
Dan Van Wright, yep.
And Dan Jacobs is one of the three finalists, but one of the other three finalists is Chef Danny. Oh, I think he's getting his Dan Dan energy from having another competitor with the name Dan. I think it's working out. I think it's working out, yeah. I think Dan Jacobs is going to capitalize on it. It's my theory.
This is a weird theory.
I didn't say it was logical. I just said I had a theory, okay?
No. Anyway, whether you've been watching the show or not, get to know Dan Jacobs by reading Rachel Bernard's article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and then watch it on Bravo tomorrow night, 8 o'clock, because Luke and I will be talking about it Thursday morning. pretty much nonstop.
And I'm going to be up real late because I got volleyball at 8, and then I'm going to watch it DVR'd afterwards.
Oh, so you're going to be useless to me Thursday morning.
No, tune in
Thursday morning to hear a very tired Luke Mathers.
What are you talking about?
Tomorrow on the program, we will have a civics teacher talking about the importance of learning civics. And if you want to save democracy, you need to have, you know, great civics education in our schools. And that's under threat as much as ever before. And so we'll talk about the importance of civics in having a good democracy so that, Kristen, we don't have leaders doing some of the dumb things we're about to talk about. Yes.
I have a question. Okay. Yes. So when I was in elementary and high school, I wasn't necessarily all that interested in civics. Mm-hmm. How do you engage? And Pat, I bet you were.
Oh yeah. Big time.
So how do you,
how did you know? We made her snort. Mark the tape. That's
that was 100% you. I had nothing to do with that. That was all you, Mr. Kreitlow.
That was for you, Mr.
That was for little Pat Kreitlow, the civics nerd from the late 1970s. But go on. My feelings aren't hurt. What was your question?
I think I learned more from Schoolhouse Rock than I did actually in school. So my question is, how do we make civics something interesting in the age of TikTok? So that as kids are learning, because this is fundamental stuff. So how do we make it, you know, palatable for them?
The Schoolhouse Rock model is, I'm really glad you brought that up, because much like the origin story for Sesame Street, it was all about how do you take things that are important for kids to know, but make it easy to learn. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times that involves setting it to music or to animation or to things like that. Now, that's for kids. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk tomorrow about teaching civics to our kids and a greater appreciation for government and not taking it for granted. Because we've seen now in an increasing number of countries where they had functioning democracies and then embraced authoritarianism. And that's a road that we don't want to go down. Right. But how do you do that now? That's hard to say. I was watching John Oliver Sunday night. And in order to properly explain the threat that Donald Trump poses to an independent civil service to get the viewer to keep going along, he would reward them with clips from MILF Manor, the reality show, saying, okay, you've listened this far. Now here's another clip. And then he'd play the clip and then he'd go back to explaining what the civil service is and why it's important that you have independent federal employees, not just political appointees. And here's another clip for you. So my point being, the whole fact that there are reality shows like these make me concerned that maybe we're too far gone. How are you going to, do you drop John Oliver clips into, you know, some of these reality shows? Is that what it takes? You know,
I don't know. You got to meet people where they are. That's mm-hmm. the trick. Mm-hmm. And I watch my kids as they're flipping through TikTok videos. And actually, my kids know way more at their ages than I did when I was that age. So I'm impressed. I think there's information out there. You just have to want to find it and be interested in it.
Well, and I think that there are more Americans, not than ever before, but more Americans than in a long time, who are interested in learning, who are interested in plugging in at least a little bit, mm-hmm. because they saw what the first Trump term was like, mm-hmm. and they want to know more. I think the Dobbs decision as well, the anniversary of which is coming up Monday, so you'll be back next week. Todd Alba is going to guest host, and you guys will talk about that. So it's unfortunate that bad things have to happen, like some of your rights being taken away, before people start to plug in. But at least if they're starting to plug in, then between conversations like these on the radio and, you know, TikTok videos that I'm making, that you're starting to make and others, you know, can we get that message out in time before more damage is done? And that's the big question. That's what gets me out of bed every morning, because I think we've already established civics nerd. Okay. So the things that we don't want to happen, for example, in light of and in the wake of the Dobbs decision, we have seen in state after state after state, and nearly all of them were red states, Republican dominated states. We saw voters that when it came time to either protect reproductive rights in the state constitution or put in the state constitution a ban on abortion. However it was worded, in all of these Republican-dominated states, the voters said, we are protecting women's health care rights, which leads to this headline. The anti-choice movement now wants to take away voters' choice. Mm-hmm. They're making a big play to thwart citizen initiatives on reproductive rights. And, you know, it's whether it's challenging signatures on petitions or trying to monkey around with the dates and the deadlines. Again, all coming back to if you can't win on your ideas, you look for ways to cheat. And I could leave it at that, but not before marking how depressing it is that this is where some people feel they have to go, is to try to take away voters' choices.
Well, we see this now in Florida, where the threshold is 60% instead of 50%. Well, 50 is the majority. So having to reach that additional 10% is really hard. And they tried to do this in Ohio, but were unsuccessful. In South Dakota, we see them removing names from the petition to put it on the ballot. All of these dirty little tricks that they're using, running opposing referendums with tricky names to confuse people. This is not how you appeal to the will of the people. This is not how you get an honest answer from the people. This is how you trick people into doing things that they don't understand they're doing. It's really, it's so unfair. It's so undemocratic, but that's the path we're on right now.
Yeah. I mean, you've got, when you looked at the names, I was looking at the article here about how in Arizona, you know, a ban on abortion would be called things like the Protecting Pregnant Women and Safe Abortions Act, or, you know, the Arizona Abortion Protection Act, which, you know, would actually be more of an anti-choice thing. And it's the line and it's the deception that really gets to me, because you can argue things on their merits, but you can't get to the merits if you first have to explain to people that they're being lied to.
Yes, or the fear that they're perpetuating. So in Arkansas, it is hard to stand up and go ask people to consider signing this petition, but they're doxing the people who are going out to get the signatures to even put it on the ballot. That is intimidation. That is fear-mongering. That's not okay. That's not democracy.
No, not at all. Closer to home, former Wisconsin Attorney General, Republican Brad Schimmel, is a declared candidate for state Supreme Court. And again, there will be a contested Supreme Court race next April. So even after we get done in November voting for president, we're all jumping right back into campaign mode here, because you have a progressive Justice Ann Walsh Bradley stepping down. Brad Schimmel, if he wins, that would put the court back in conservative control. You have a progressive candidate who got into the race last week. But the group A Better Wisconsin Together is calling out Brad Schimmel for basically trying to downplay his support for a statewide abortion ban. And let's not forget, Kristen, that he, among other things, did sign on to a 2012 white paper authored by Wisconsin Right to Life that, you know, agreed that the 1849 Wisconsin statute would, in their mind, be a full ban on abortion, no matter what the courts have said.
Let's not forget what these politicians have said and done in the past as they're trying to walk so much of this back. We're seeing the same thing with Eric Hovde, who came out very clearly against abortion rights in a previous campaign, but now is saying, no, leave it up to the people, echoing this trope that they're using to try to squeeze their way around this issue, because none of their messaging is working, because it's not grounded in reality. It's not grounded in people. It's not grounded in what the people need or want to see. So what's happening with Brad Schimmel is just part of that standard playbook for these career politicians who already are on the record with a perspective that's inconsistent with what they need to be saying right now in order to win.
Of course, it's not just Wisconsin. In Indiana, the Republican candidate for governor had a choice of his preference to be his running mate for lieutenant governor. But Iowa Republicans over the weekend instead nominated a podcasting pastor with far right views on abortion to be his running mate. So even when Republican politicians are either coming at this from a moderate position or pretending to come from it, whatever, they've got party apparatus and people at the grassroots level willing to expose them for who they are and what their party really stands for these days.
This is really scary what's happening in Indiana right now. So Indiana is kind of in a place where we were before we broke our gerrymander, and they don't have competitive legislative seats. In fact, in many of their legislative districts, they have only a Republican or only a Democrat running because it is just so polarized. But even within the GOP, there was a Trump-endorsed candidate for lieutenant governor that everybody thought was going to be that person. But this podcasting pastor who had been like working into this role for over a year, had been campaigning for it, ended up in this position. He's very, very dangerous. And even prominent GOP leaders are concerned about his role at this point and his role moving forward in the state of Indiana, where there really aren't any checks or balances anymore. It's very frightening.
In Brazil, thousands of demonstrators took to the streets in opposition to a bill that would further criminalize abortions that, if passed, the law would equate the termination of a pregnancy after 22 weeks with homicide. Again, clearly not knowing how this works in late pregnancy when there are medical issues that I don't even know how a politician begins to take that kind of position, Kristen.
This is so much worse than what the headline shows. So most of these abortions that occur later in pregnancy are actually child rape victims. It's like 60% of them are child rape victims. So this means that these children under 14 would be forced to carry these pregnancies or charged with murder, and the consequences for them would be greater than the consequences for the rapists.
Kristen Lyerly, taking time off from her candidacy for Congress to visit with us today. Thank you very much. Have
Kristen
a good day.
Wisconsin.com, Pat. KristenForWisconsin.com.
Keep us informed and in the loop, and we'll talk to you again soon. Have a great
day. Thank you, my friend.
Chad Holmes is coming up next. You're up north. Yes, I know you heard us say goodbye to Dr. Lyerly, but,
I'm still here.
We were waiting for Chad Holmes, who got here exactly 3¾ seconds ago. You got here as fast as you could. I know. He's unmuting himself. There he is.
It's wires. I figured it out. It's wires.
It's wires?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. How are you?
Eh.
I'll never forget the first time I got into a radio studio breathless. It was a WBKV in West Bend. The newsroom was in the basement, and I cut it too close, and I had to run upstairs for the noon news. And I'm sure everybody who's worked in radio has done it at some point where in your brain, you're like, okay, I just have to practice breathe. And you can't, you have to stop it. So just shut the mic off and go, and then come back on. It's you can't do it.
I thought I was the only one.
Oh no. No, we have all been there. How are things in beautiful Wausau?
Oh, it's a nice morning after getting again pelted. I mean, it's amazing. This I don't know whether it's the same over there, but
like by listeners or by Mother Nature?
No, by rain.
Okay.
But yesterday after work, I had some friends who are in town. And we tried to, wanted to go out and play 9 holes of golf. It was like after 5 o'clock when I got done. And we went out there and it's been raining. Well, let's take a shot. And we went out to this golf course, and the person at the front said, well, it is, you can get on the back 9 because there's leagues on the front 9. And said, but it's a little bit wet out there. Oh, it was, I mean, there were huge puddles.
I don't think the heavy stuff's going to come down for a little while yet, Your Eminence.
But, I mean, we went through it, and then as we got off the last green, it started to rain. Then we went to eat, and we're looking outside, and it was like, I would say, where's Noah? Where's the ark?
Did you never see Caddyshack? Do you know not to go out near a golf course when it looks like it's going to do that?
The last hole, you could hear the thunder in the background. And all I could think of was Lee Trevino.
I can't save you from yourself every time.
I know.
While
I'm going to finish this off, even though it was the worst nine holes of golf I've ever played in my life.
Well, there you go. That'll learn you. All right. Well, since Dr. Lyerly is here, I want to get to one more story, this one about the Republican National Convention. And your thoughts to both of you on how Senator Ron Johnson was on one of the Sunday shows over the weekend demanding that the protest zone for the Republican National Convention be moved farther away from the Fiserv Forum, you know, that place where they're exercising their First Amendment rights to protest something. And I mentioned it briefly on air yesterday. Kristen, you caught it right away, the irony involved in taking that position.
Yeah, my answer is no. Next question.
Yeah. Because
I mean, this is an absolute double standard. You know, you make people do this every single day in excruciating circumstances. So no.
We've had women on saying that when they've had to go into clinics, they have to run this gauntlet because protesters are allowed very close to the clinic entrance and can scream and harass and heckle and jeer, having no idea what these women are going through or what they're even there for. Mm-hmm. But they're there to be heckled and harassed. But Ron Johnson saying, you know, the proximity is ridiculous. Governor Evers ought to be demanding changes from the Secret Service. Chad, irony much?
Number one, people who listen to me, I often say that my favorite thing and my least favorite person to talk about is Ron Johnson, because he is just a ridiculous person. Number one, that's, you know, this again is another example of that. Also, yes, number one, hypocrisy. Number two, and then he says basically that the reason, one other reason he wants this done is because there's going to be a bunch of people that are basically paid to show up to protest. Like, there's nobody out there that could ever really in their heart of hearts have any issue such as reproductive rights or the fear of a dictatorship to come out and protest Donald Trump's third nomination as the Republican nominee for president of the United States. Oh, nobody would ever, unless they were being paid to do so.
No, that's they're all agitators, right?
The Ron Johnson theory of everything that, you know, by the way, real quickly about this Republicans. Yesterday, I had a Republican candidate for the state assembly here in the Wausau area. And I guess I should be happy that reached out today, like to come on your show. And that doesn't happen very often, to be honest with you. It's usually on the other side. During the discussion, he was saying, well, he goes out there, basically everybody he talks to agrees with what he's saying. My first thought is, wow, apparently you're not really going out and talking to a lot of voters, because I'm sure Dr. Lyerly, as many people that's come to you and say, hey, yeah, I do agree with you, I am pretty certain that from time to time you come across at least a couple of people that I don't really agree with you on this. But the idea that everybody I go out to, they agree with me. And I think, well,
you know where they get that cue from? They get it cue from Donald Trump, whose standard line is everybody wanted Roe v. Wade overturned. Every legal expert said it should go to the individual states. Which is it's a bald-faced lie, but you keep saying it because you want people to think that you know it all and you will it to be true. I know that Kristen, having run for the assembly, can attest. We all knock on doors, and a lot of times we know their leanings at the doors based on previous, you know, polling and surveys and things. But sometimes you get to a door and it's like, oh yeah, we do not agree on this.
I think it's so important to talk to people who have different perspectives than you do. That's how you learn. So you should have those experiences every day. And if we could just go back to Ron Johnson for a second, how crazy do you have to be a senator from the state where the Republican National Convention is and not be considered a potential VP pick for someone like Donald Trump?
Oh yeah, that was the Joe Zepecki question from Thursday, where I was absolutely gobsmacked. I just had never thought of it. A battleground state.
Uh-huh.
And instead of the rich white political guy from Wisconsin, he's looking at the rich white political guy from North Dakota. Doug Burgum, who brings you nothing. Chad, that's a stunning indictment of our senator. That he's not on any short list.
But have you seen him on Fox Business with Maria Bartiromo?
Well, of course. I mean, he and Trump are, you know,
even
simpatico.
Even the mega say, I don't know if America's ready for this. Even
the mag, like Ron Johnson. I don't know.
We like him, but man, even he's a little nutty.
All right. Question of the day. I got to get a really quick answer from you. It's National Splurge Day.
Yep.
What's one little thing you can do or would splurge on if you could?
One little thing that I've done for many, many years, because obviously, as you well know, for most of our career in broadcasting, we make no money.
Yes.
So basically, on payday, I would always, instead of getting the frozen pizza, actually order one from one of the good pizza
places.
You are a simple and beautiful man. Chad, thank you so much. Kristen, Luke, thank you, friends, as always. Thank you for being part of Up North News Radio for this Tuesday morning. Enjoy your day. We'll see you up north again tomorrow.